Marina Dixon is the Program Manager of Education at the Australian Childhood Foundation. She was in Mildura to present a workshop on raising happy and confident children. In this extended interview, she touches on encouraging resilience, confidence and consistency through parenting, as well as focusing on the development of your relationship with your child. I started by asking her, how do you raise happy and confident children?
I think happy and confident children are the children that we all want to have in terms of our own parenting. And I think often parents struggle with that process, that that's the goal they want for their kids, that they are happy and confident. But they're not sure how to do that because they're often bombarded with messages about how to parent and what to do and what not to do. And so this is really an opportunity to take stock of their parenting and just think about some of those core messages of parenting.
What are some of the messages we get about parenting that perhaps aren't that relevant or that we might worry about that are not that important?
It's actually one of the questions that I ask the participants. I ask them to think about where do we get our messages about parenting, and some of the things that people say often are a lot of messages we get from our own parents and our own experience of being parented, but then there's a lot of messages from the media and from friends, and I think the funny one is often from people walking in the street, you know, that you might be out with your child and then someone tells you, you know, you should look after that kid or you should not let them do that. And they're often the messages that we carry with us going, oh, I must be a bad parent because this person has said that. And really, that's not what you want. You know, it's that you want to rely on your own sense of who you are as a parent rather than taking all these messages from outside influences.
But how do you know how to be a good parent?
I think it's a really hard one because I think I often talk about the little voice in my head that's saying a good parent should do this and a good parent should do that and a bad parent does this and I'm a bad parent because. And I think we often lose touch with what we think is parenting and what we think a good parent is. I think we know because we know our own children. I think that's one of the messages that I want to give parents tonight, that they're the experts about their own kids. And just hang on to that, you know, and that sometimes you'll hear things that you agree with around parenting and sometimes you'll hear things that you don't agree with. And that's okay because you're the expert about your own children and you know when you're doing okay and you know when things are going well with them. And I think really the key around that is relationships. So when you feel connected to your child, they'll feel connected to you. I think that's when you think, yeah, this is what parenting is about.
So all the other stuff that, you know, perhaps people are bombarded with, you know, is your child sleeping the right amount of time? Is your child talking the right amount of words? Are all those things still important?
Yeah, they are important because I think, you know, we want to make sure that our children grow and develop in ways that feels okay. But I also think it's easy to get caught up in that and forget about the important stuff about being a parent, which is about developing a relationship with your child and enjoying that relationship. Because I think it's easy to get caught up in, oh, they're not going to bed at 8 o'clock, you know, whereas actually it's around, well, what's going on? Is it because they want to spend time with you listening to a story or is it because they want to just have that 5 minutes of quiet time with you? And so, yeah, 8:05, oh my goodness, but it's okay because I'm connected to you and we're having that time together. So it's not to say those other things aren't important, but I think there's plenty of information out there around how to do it and ways to think about it and what those milestones are. And I think,
how would you define a good relationship with a child, between a parent and a child?
I think it's one that is based on understanding. When I understand my child and my child understands me, they know what to expect from me, and basically I provide that in a consistent way. So they pretty much know if they come up and give me a hug, for example, that I'll hug them back, that I won't push them away or say come back later or whatever it might be, that most of the times they look for that connection, that it'll be there for me. So I think a good relationship is based in understanding.
How do you build a good relationship with your child? Do you have some tips?
It's hard because I tend to say it is unique to each child and each family. And it's not around number of minutes, you know, it's not about, oh, you must spend this much time with your child. It's just about listening to our kids, hearing their stories, checking in with them and spending some time with them, obviously. But I think it's just about listening to what they say, what they don't say, when they just need to be with you, and just have some quiet time. I think the other thing about building relationships with children, and often this is a struggle I think that parents have, is around the importance of consistency. You know, that it is okay to put some limits on their behaviour and say, don't do that, and to continually give them that message, because I think children are looking for limits. They're looking to know what's okay and what's not, because that's what they're learning. They don't automatically know what's okay and what's not. They develop that as they get older and grow and experience different things. So I think they're sort of the key things that I hang on to.
And parenting, regardless of your class, your income, your situation, you've worked with people who are in, you know, very desperate need of help. They're in situations of homelessness or child abuse or domestic violence. How does parenting relate to them?
I think it is that universal experience of parenting, that regardless of circumstances, regardless of experience, we want to be good parents. You know, I really haven't met any parent yet who's deliberately being a bad parent. You know, you don't wake up in the morning and say, right, I'm going to be as crappy a parent as possible today. And so I think it is really important that regardless of circumstance, we focus on the things that we can. It's not about how much you own. It's not about the number of toys. It's about the relationship. And I think that comes across from the children as well. Just by way of example, at the Australian Childhood Foundation, we did a study where we asked children about who their heroes were. We wanted to see who do children see as heroes, thinking it might be sporting people or music people or Hannah Montana or whoever it might be. And what came out was that mums and dads are children's heroes. And it was a lovely thing to find out. And I think it's really important to tell parents that you are your kids' heroes. And so you can be your child's hero regardless of circumstance. And I think that is really important to hang on to in a world where perhaps other heroes are pushed more than mum and dad. I don't think we often see anything on telly about mums and dads as heroes. It's usually superheroes or music stars. So, yeah, so we just want to let parents know that's what your kids are telling us.
So taking away from that, if you are in a hard situation, if life is dealing you some barriers, then how do you work with people like that to then feel good about being a parent?
Oh, that's a really long and complex process, I suppose, and it is about, I suppose, supporting parents in their role. I think it's often a challenge as parents, when we've talked to parents about how they experience parenting, often what they say is that they find it hard to ask for help in their parenting because they think they'll be judged negatively, that people might sort of see them as bad parents or whatever that might be, so they often don't seek out support. So I think ultimately one of the messages that we want to give parents is to access support in this role. It is a hard role. It's a fantastic role, but it's a hard role. And if you've got other things that are impacting on that because of a range of situations and experiences, then don't feel you have to do it yourself. Utilise the services that are around and access that support. And then, you know, hopefully use that support to build the relationship with your children and hold on to that connection in the midst of all the other chaos or whatever else is going on in your life.
On the other end of the spectrum, do we sometimes have too much of an expectation of what that relationship should be?
I think we can. I think that sometimes we forget about what the basics of a good connection are. You know, we're looking for exceeding expectations, and I think, what does that mean in a relationship? You know, a relationship is what it is, so how can you exceed expectations? So I think you can get a bit carried away with who you want to be as a parent, blaming yourself if something goes wrong, or, you know, taking stock and thinking, oh no, I'm not doing a very good job, whereas actually you are, and just hang on to that sort of sense in terms of your connection with your kids.
And some people tend to want their children to be involved in lots of things. So lots of extracurricular activities, or, you know, my child needs to be singing or doing ballet or running or something like that. How does that impact on parenting relationships?
I think there's mixed opinions around that, and I suppose what we always come back to is knowing your own children, and equally how are you feeling as a family in terms of stress levels and commitments, and, you know, are the kids enjoying what they're doing, or are they continually saying, I don't want to do this, you know? And again, it comes back to those key messages about connection and listening and understanding each other. I think that kids really enjoy a range of activities, and sometimes it can feel like there are too many on your plate, but equally there are families where each child is doing four or five things and they manage it really well. So it's really hard to say one size fits all, and I suppose again it's that listening to yourself and having that sense of you making the right decisions about your own children and your own family, because there's plenty of experts out there who will tell you what to do, and I think sometimes you need to come back to your own sense of expert with your family and your kids.
One of the things that you talk about in your presentation is touching on some of the brain development in children and how important that is. Yep. Can you explain why you do that?
I think what we've seen is that we know a lot more about how brains develop now than we used to, and it actually provides a really useful frame for understanding how children develop. And I think just talking about brains is just really interesting in and of itself. Like, we all have one and they've all developed, and so to sort of hear about some of those sequences of development helps to understand why children might do what they do. One of the examples that I often talk about is that we know children's thinking part of their brain, the most complex part of their brain, doesn't necessarily fully develop until sort of going on four or five, whereas often in those earlier years, at around age two and three, those children are often dominated by the emotional part of their brain. So it tells us why it's really difficult to reason with a two-year-old, because they actually don't have the capacity to think and reason. So, and we often do it even though we know it's not going to work. You know, when you're trying to tell a two-year-old, no, you can't have that chocolate because it's nearly dinner time, and they're screaming and yelling at you because they really, really want it, and they don't quite understand the logic of, you know, you need to wait 5 minutes. And so I think understanding how brains develop often takes some of the frustration out of parenting, because it's like, that's why they don't do that, or that's why they don't understand that, because actually they're not physically capable of that. Their brains haven't developed to that extent. So, and I just think, yeah, it's just an interesting area to understand in terms of brain development, because it also helps explain often a lot of the way we think or don't think about everything. So, yeah, I find it a really useful framework.
One of the other key messages is building resilience in children. Can you explain that?
Yeah, resilience is an interesting concept. How we sort of talk about resilience is it's the capacity to deal with stressors. So it's that capacity to deal with things that life chucks at you and sort of rise above it in some ways. And we understand that resilience is a really important thing for children to develop. But the best way for them to develop it is to experience what I would call manageable doses of stress. So if I use the idea of, it's not about chucking kids in at the deep end of the pool and saying, well, just see if you can swim. It's saying, let's give them a little bit of a challenge and help them to navigate that, and that helps them build the capacity to deal with other stressors that life might throw at them. So it's a gradual process, building resilience. It's a developmental process, I think, and it is really helpful for children to be able to manage stress. But I think you don't want to take it too far, that we're not expecting kids to deal with trauma. We're not expecting them to deal with things that are really outside of their range of coping strategies and coping capacity, because that's a very different thing from resilience. Resilience is managing what we would see as everyday stressors in a way that is helpful and probably is based in thought and calmness rather than getting overexcited about it.
Can we go the other way and protect them too much so that they don't become resilient?
I think that's one of the conversations that's happening in the sort of parenting field is around, can we do that by protecting children too much? And I suppose I go back to my point around, if we provide children with manageable doses of stress, which sounds a bit ridiculous, but just not protect them from everything, it's probably helpful in terms of them developing resilience, because they build coping strategies, and we all need coping strategies to deal with life and its changeability and all the things that we come up against, whether it's in the playground or in the classroom or just walking home from school, for example. So I think there is a possibility that we can be overprotective, but again, it comes back to that individual choice for families and children.
Confidence is one of the other things.
I think that in terms of confidence, there's a few things. The first thing is, when children are quite young, I don't think you can spoil them. I don't think you can give them too much praise. I think, you know, sometimes we sort of think we need to do the same thing for a one-year-old as we might for a seven-year-old, whereas I think really for a one-year-old, you can tell them they're fantastic 24 hours a day and they're not going to become little brats. And so often, you know, it's just giving yourself permission to do that. As children get older, they do need... I think confidence breeds confidence, you know, that you do need to hear what you're doing well, and you do need to hear what you can improve, and that's what helps build confidence. So giving children clear, concrete messages about strengths, about skills, about things that they've done really well, just helps them to understand who they are. I mean, it becomes a part of their sense of identity around, well, I'm someone who's really good at writing, or I'm someone who's good at footy, or I'm someone who shares well. You know, those sorts of concrete, specific messages help children to experience confidence in something, and that then helps them to hold the things that perhaps they're not so good at, because it's like, well, yeah, I might not be so good at maths, but gee, I can really write well, or whatever it might be. And I think that's the essence of confidence. It's not about being overconfident. You know, I think as a community, we often don't like people to blow their own trumpet, as you might say. But yeah, for children, I think they need to continually hear positive messages just to give them a sense of who they are and the skills and the strengths that they bring.